This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is retired Wichita television meteorologist Merrill Teller this week. Good morning, Merrill.
Good morning, Mike.
Welcome to Issues 2019. Yeah, July 23rd, you gave your final forecast.
Yes.
After 38 years on KWCH Channel 12.
Right.
What was that last eyewitness newscast like?
Oh, had a little trouble with the computer, but that's not unusual. You know, guys our age and computers don't always go together. But everything went up from there because that was at the beginning of the show.
Trouble with the computer.
Oh, you know, that's the way things work sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, it was really very mixed feelings at that point in time. I mean, I was ready to retire. There was no question about that. But still, leaving behind 38 years of memories is a hard thing to kind of put behind you. So I had pluses and minuses with that.
During the course of the newscast, did you get any ups and downs then, or emotional?
Not really, because I had to concentrate on what I was doing. So we still had a job to do,
That's right, even though
it was the last time to do it.
Okay.
But I would say a little bit beforehand and certainly afterward.
Did you have any idea how many newscasts you did there?
You know, I've
what
never
were you
tried.
Doing two or three a night or one?
Well,
or twice?
It varied over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, the last couple of years, it's just been two a day. But, you know, there was a time when I was doing three, sometimes four. So I've never really tried to figure it out. I know we gave out over 20,000 umbrellas in my time.
Well, there. That's a landmark.
See?
That's a lot of umbrellas.
It is.
Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you and I have known each other for a long time.
Yes.
I want to know, but I don't know anything really about your background, where you grew up, where you went to school.
Grew up on Long Island in New York, the town of East Meadow. College was Rutgers University in New Jersey. Came out to the University of Oklahoma. Please don't throw things, fans.
Really?
For some graduate studies, although I have to be honest and upfront, even though I'm not a politician. And did not finish my master's at OU. Had the opportunity to get involved in television, weather, and that was in 1975, and that's when I started. So 38 years here at Channel 12, but 44 years in the TV business.
Now, OU, has it got that great reputation as a weather school thing?
It does, particularly for
down
severe
there,
weather.
Where Norman is and,
yes.
and the severe weather and all that.
The Severe Storms Laboratory is there. The National Weather Service, Oklahoma City Forecast Office is actually now down in Norman. In fact, the building where all of that has come together over the last decade is known as the World Weather Building there on the OU campus.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on in meteorology there.
I'm going to take you back a little further than that. When you were a little kid, when you were a child, what got you interested in broadcasting?
Broadcasting. It looked like it was fun. You know, and even though it was a big city, since I grew up, you know, in the suburbs of New York, They still had a good time doing what they were doing. Obviously, there's serious news. There's serious weather sometimes. Although we never had tornado warnings or anything like that as I was growing up. But when I was eight, we did have Hurricane Donna come right across Long Island. And that's one of the things I think that really turned me on to meteorology and TV secondarily, maybe.
No. Was your job in Oklahoma City, was that your first time on the air?
It was, yeah, in the summer of 1975. I filled in on the weekends. My boss, I also worked at a private weather company in Oklahoma City. My boss was the weekend guy, and when the weekday guy took vacation, my boss would fill in for him, and I had the opportunity to fill in on the weekends for my boss.
So how did you wind up here in Wichita?
There was a job opening.
I mean, were you looking or did they come after you?
I had
an agent?
Well, yeah, I have an agent, except the type of agent that she was when a station was looking for someone in a particular position, they would send 5 or 10 or 15 videotapes out to the television station, and then they could go through all of that. So it wasn't like a one-on-one personal relationship with the agent. But that's how I found out about the job.
Anyone in broadcasting knows 38 years is an uncommonly long time to be with a TV or a radio station.
Yes, that's the guy who has been how many?
Well, I've only been at this station for about 20.
Well, yeah, but that's
but
all.
38, wow. I got to go a while.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. I mean, you obviously you had a family here.
Yep.
I raised my kids here. I didn't want them to go anywhere else.
Right.
I thought, if I can make it here and not move them around the country.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea.
Absolutely.
So what were your thoughts on that?
You know, at first, when my agent called me and said, there are some folks in Wichita that want to talk to you, I said, I was in Oak City, and I was like, Wichita? Big question mark.
Well, now Oklahoma City, let's face it, it's about twice as large a market, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a big market.
Yes, it is.
And
definitely
you're coming
that.
To a smaller market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that wasn't it. I just didn't really know anything about Wichita.
Okay.
I had been through Wichita one time driving from Oklahoma City out to Colorado back in 1973, right after I graduated from college. But I didn't really know anything about it. But I called them. They said, come on up for an interview. Came up, did an interview. And, as they say, the rest is history.
Now, obviously, you kind of liked it here, or you would have gone away.
Well, yeah, exactly.
This is good. How many did you have some offers over the years to leave?
I did. Yeah. Never made it public, but when Jim O'Donnell retired, Kate came after me.
Okay.
That didn't happen, fortunately. Other than that, I really didn't look hard for anything else. I enjoyed where I was working. I really enjoyed the people I was working with. And, of course, as a meteorologist, the weather in Kansas. And, of course, as we came to find out, my wife and I, as you were saying, it's a great place to raise a family. And so we did. And now we not just have family. We have grandkids now. They now live here in Wichita. So, everybody's asking me, are we going to move? Are we going to leave Wichita? And all I have to say is grandkids.
Yeah, the roots go deep, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And before you know it. Okay.
Definitely that.
You know, and in 2008, you were inducted into the Kansas Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Was that a proud evening for you?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea it was coming until.
I thought it was just me.
No.
Yeah, you and I were inducted on the same night.
Yeah, yeah. Along with posthumously
Mitch Holtis and
Jim O'Donnell.
Wow.
Exactly.
The class of 2008,
that's right.
KAB Hall of Fame class that the stars shined on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, am I being ridiculous? No. But it really, think about that. We didn't get any money for it or anything, but
no.
Wow, this is a peer recognition.
Oh, yeah, the honor is just is spectacular. And the only thing that might have beat that was just a few weeks ago when I was awarded the Silver Circle Award from the Heartland Emmy Association.
Wow.
The folks for television in Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. And basically, it's a lifetime achievement award. You have to be in the business 25 years. There was one gentleman at our ceremony who had been 50 years in broadcasting.
Wow.
And mine 44 paled compared to his, that's
wow.
for sure.
And there's something to be seen, you know, if you either you don't have much imagination or staying someplace for 4 years.
I've told people over the years, I just don't have the get up and go to want to go someplace else.
Really? Got to pack and move.
Yeah, exactly. Too many hassles with doing that.
So basically you're saying you have in common what all of us broadcasters are. You're basically a lazy man.
Well,
no.
I'll
tell you what, we're lazy until the bell rings and the severe weather comes in, then the adrenaline hits.
Really.
Talk about that a little bit, about that adrenaline pump. And
you know, I can't say that I've ever noticed the adrenaline, but I know it happens because when we get severe weather, when we get the Hestons, the Andovers, the Greensburgs, all of those kinds of things, you've really got to, you know, you've got to put your game face on. You've got to be serious without scaring people. And I think that's something that we accomplished over the years.
You know, the Wichita market has produced several TV meteorologists who've been on the air for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know your competitors? Do you ever get a chance to talk shop?
Not very often, but I do. Dave Freeman and I, as a matter of fact, back when my wife and I moved into our current home, was the same time that Dave had just come to town. And right before we had our refrigerator delivered, the Sears guys had been at Dave's house. And so he sent his regards via the Sears guys because they were coming to our house right after his.
Well, that is a Wichita story.
Right?
You know, because if you go someplace and you start talking to somebody, you'll find pretty quickly they know somebody or,
that's the whole thing.
It's a strange, strange phenomenon. But
And Jay and I mostly just run into each other at conferences.
Jay Prater.
Jay Prater. Yeah. Right.
But then it's not like you get nasty looks to each other.
Oh, no. Actually,
that's not the way broadcasting is. Although we're very, very competitive.
And no, it can be that way, though. Yeah. But it has never been with any of the folks at either of the other stations. Okay. We've always got along very, very well.
I understand you and Roger Cornish had some fist fights, though. Is that true?
Yeah. Out on the golf course, you know. because he probably was about a 4 or 5 handicap. My handicap was swinging a golf club.
Swinging a club?
Yeah.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is a retired Wichita television meteorologist, Merrill Teller. Now, over the course of 38 years, Merrill, you've had a family to share your interest and lend you support. Talk about that. You brushed on it a little bit a moment ago. Tell me about that.
Yeah. My wife has obviously been, a backbone in the family because of the crazy hours that I've had to work over the years, from working from, 1 in the afternoon to 10:30, 11 o'clock at night for most of the time. It's been a little bit better in about the last 3 years when I started doing just the noon and the 4 o'clock newscasts, so that I'd go in at 10 in the morning, be done by 7. So go home and actually have dinner at our normal hour.
Normal hour.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So that's been good. Our son raised here in Wichita. He went to Iowa State University for his college, met his now wife there. And they did some traveling around with different jobs. He's a pilot.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Oh, that's
cool. Now flies for FedEx.
Okay.
So flies one of their big planes. Okay. And they came back to Wichita about 6 years ago after having been in New Hampshire, Maine, Virginia, and Denver. So
they did that thing of going around and around.
Different jobs required different bases, yeah.
That's interesting. My son came back and landed here after 20 years in the military.
Okay.
The kids are coming home to roost. So.
Isn't it nice?
That's nice. And how many grandkids?
We have two.
Two?
A boy and a girl.
Oh, they're not spoiled, are they?
Oh, only by their two grandmothers.
I'll bet.
Oh, yeah.
That's something to watch. Well, let's talk about the weather a little bit. To me, it seems a larger and larger portion of local TV news blocks devoted to weather. Am I just imagining that?
You know,
a little more FaceTime than you used to?
Not really.
Or you don't think, really?
Okay. Well, now I can't speak about other markets.
Okay.
I don't get to see other markets very often. But I know in ours, it's been pretty standard over the years to have the main weathercast would be about 3 minutes or maybe 3.5. There'd be instances, obviously, where you've got storms going on, even if not severe. You have to take a little more time showing the radar to folks so they'll know where storms are and if there might be a threat. So you'd get a little bit of extra time for that. Rarely did they cut us back, though, which is kind of nice. And even if they did, we just keep talking anyway.
Well, you're talking about a 30-minute newscast. You know,
right.
The average viewer is going to see 30 minutes. But of that time, it's divided up not only in news, sports, and weather. You got commercials to play in there.
Yeah.
How much actual airtime do we use for news and sports?
I think most
8 minutes.
Sometimes it feels like that.
Yeah.
I think probably because of 3 or 4 commercial breaks, most of those are around 2 minutes. So, yeah, about 8 minutes of commercial time.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah, that gives you 22 of actual content.
You ever getting complaints about being on the air too much?
Yes. Once or twice.
I'm sure that happens during primetime severe weather coverage.
You know,
they want to watch the show, and here you come. Right?
They do, and all I can say is, now I can say it because I couldn't in the past, that's people who are just too selfish.
Oh.
Because what we're trying to do is our number one job, and that's keep people safe. And I'm sorry if we're going to cut into your show. Nowadays, there are many, many ways to watch programs that are in repeat over the internet. So there's no excuse for folks to say, I want my show. I don't care. That storm's not in my backyard.
Well, I guess most people are like that. Or many people are.
Many people are like that. No, because we also get a lot of great comments from folks who will say, thank you for being on the air. We didn't mind you breaking into the program because we know you're keeping people safe.
And that it sounds like sometimes like we're puffing ourselves up a little bit. When we do weather, because we do it on the radio too.
Sure.
And we do severe weather, but are we puffing ourselves up a little bit? Or do you think we're actually having an impact in saving lives?
Well, just talk to people from Greensburg, Kansas, or, you know, from Andover or Heston. And you'll find out that people really do, they pay attention to what we're saying, and they are thankful that we're doing what we're doing in the great majority. I think the naysayers are still certainly a significant minority.
I think over the past 15 or 20 years, it's become even more important, and people are paying stricter attention.
Because
there's so many, not only TV
sources.
And radio, there are other sources too.
Yeah, certainly having a computer in your hands, known as a smartphone, gives people the ability to have information at their fingertips, but they may not know what to do with that information. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we still come in.
My next question was talking about the technological changes. Not only that, but what you have in front of you when you're in the studio or in your portion there. What, 4 or 5 computer screens? How many you got
there?
Oh,
yeah. Well, if
and when you started out, there probably were no computers.
There were no computers when I started. You're absolutely right.
Wow.
No, we had maps that were on big boards with plexiglass in front of them, and we used magic marker to write on them, the cold fronts and the warm fronts and all that, temperatures.
Right.
And then it would just get washed off after each show.
And before that, I think they had little felt clouds that they saw.
Oh, with magnetics.
Really, yeah,
I had, when I worked in Wichita Falls, Texas, we had magnetic maps, and you had little magnetic numbers and magnetic cold fronts and warm fronts, the whole ball of wax. So, yes, it goes back that far. Yeah. And then I think we got our first computer around 1983 or 84, and it's been onward and upward since then.
I'll tell you what, another part of it, National Weather Service, to me, has become so much more sophisticated. Those guys are really helpful for what we do, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they're giving you a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with the technology. Forecast models are getting better for day-to-day forecasting. And, of course, one of the biggest advances that we've seen in the last few decades was Doppler radar when it comes to severe weather.
Because
now you don't just see where a storm is, but you can see inside a storm, see what the winds are doing, detect rotation. And where before Doppler radar, most severe weather warnings, particularly tornado warnings, would happen 3 to 5 minutes after the tornado had already occurred.
Yeah.
Now there's a 10 to 20 minute lead time for folks. And that's something that saves lives.
And we've also seen it as much as giving you several hours.
It can.
These conditions, I remember a couple times, they were pretty accurate on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a great thing.
I drove through Greensburg the other day.
Ah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, I was out there for the 10th anniversary.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Yeah. And There's still signs, obviously. 95% of the town was wiped off the map.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but boy, they've done a nice job with their downtown area, the new schools.
Well, and they say that doggone thing was almost 2 miles wide.
Right, right. And that's not your typical tornado, Kansas or no Kansas.
You get in your golf cart, and it's going to take you about 20 minutes to go that far.
Yes, it would.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a huge tornado. And they've built it back and built
they
it
have.
Back green. So what are the other big stories that you've covered over the years, big tornadoes? There's that.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and
Greensburg.
You were here for Andover?
I was here even before that for the Heston tornado in 1990, and then Andover in 91. Hoisington, believe that was 99. And then, 99 was also the Hayesville tornado.
Yeah.
We just did a special this year on the anniversary of that. So, been around for a few of those, been around for a couple of snowstorms.
A snowstorm's going to be booger, too.
my second winter in Wichita, I couldn't get beyond my driveway. It was the last of January, 1st of February. We had like 11 inches of snow over 2 days. I was driving a Camaro. A little bit low to the ground for 11 inches of snow.
Okay, I want to switch off here a little bit. Some of us remember Channel 12 News before you and Roger and Susan Peters and Cindy Close and Bruce Hurdle got together, that team. And frankly, it wasn't very good
I still ask myself sometimes, why did I come here? Because when I came up for my interview,
The reputation had to be terrible.
Well, we were definitely that. And as we like to say, or I like to say anyway, we were the number four station in a three-station market.
Yep.
It was that bad. Ratings-wise, back then, Cake was getting ratings in the mid-30s to near 40. We were lucky to hit 10. Well, now it's, of course, a little bit different.
Who put that together? Was it Bergamo?
Well, Ross Beach and Bob Schmidt were owners who bought us from the Minneapolis Star and Tribune in 1973. And they brought Ron Bergamo in as general manager. So between them, because my understanding is, number one, the biggest problem before they took over was the technology.
Yeah.
Nothing worked. Everything was constantly breaking down. My understanding is they had budgeted $1 million in technology when they first took over the station, and ended up spending about $2 million in the first year. And what a difference that's going to make.
I worked with a guy who ran camera out there at one time, and he said basically the engineer would come out, take a look at it, slap the camera upside. That ought to work now.
Yeah, that's
it. Was that primitive? But talk a little bit about that team. Do you guys all get along together most of the time, some of the time?
I can't even remember having an argument ever.
Really?
Come
on.
No, we all... Now,
listen, I know Bruce Hurdle.
Yes.
There had to be something.
And I listened to him many mornings on the other station.
Yeah.
No, really not. Well, of course, my second love is sports. So,
you're into soccer.
I've been refereeing youth soccer for about 27 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. But growing up in New York, where you have two teams at a minimum in every sport, had to love all sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bruce and I would always find he being a Red Sox guy, me being a New York guy, although more Mets than Yankees nowadays, we'd always have something to talk about.
Yeah.
And Roger, all you had to do was mention either golf or the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
And
car racing.
Car racing. Right. And it was off to the races.
Yeah.
And then,
right off the
so
race.
To speak,
okay.
Yes, no pun intended. I didn't even realize I was saying that way. And Cindy, of course, she's just a consummate professional.
Yeah.
And Susan likewise. Susan always did such a good job.
You know, retirement means more time, I guess, to yourself and your family. I'm thinking it does.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to fill the hours, or how have you started to fill the hours?
So far, sleeping in. If we feel like staying up late to watch a movie, we stay up late to watch a movie and sleep in until 10 or 11 the next morning.
Wow.
Little things like that. So far, I have only found one downside to it.
Okay.
Losing track of what day of the week it is.
You know?
I've always known what day of the week it is, because other than you had the weekend, but that helped also, having that breakup between weekday and weekend. Well, now every day is a weekend, and so it's only been a week and a half, and I did find myself last week kind of going, is this Thursday or Friday?
You know, I feel so sorry for you.
I'm sure.
You're about to make me mad now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve.
The envy. Can you see the green coming? The envy.
I tell you what, you're losing your hair over it, aren't
really,
you?
Really, I already have. Hey, listen. In all seriousness, Merrill, you and I have done some things on the radio together.
For sure.
And got to know each other pretty well over the years, and it's been a privilege to work with you. You've always been a real professional, and we appreciate that. And thank you for your contributions to local broadcasting and to television. I think you've really had a great career, and I'm speaking for the entire market of saying we appreciate what you've done.
Well,
thanks for being.
Thank you so much, Steve, and same right back at you, sir.
I hope you have a great retirement. I'm going to have to come and find out what to do when there's nothing to do.
Volunteer work.
There you go. Our guest, retired Wichita television meteorologist Merrill Teller. And thanks again, Merrill, for being with us. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.